system is broken. No food in the stomachs, the vulnerable, they die.
Stringy Bark McDowell has been a legend in the Australian blues scene since the 90s, originally as part of the Muddy Puddles band. Personally, I think he is Australia's Neil Young and a legend in his own right. The lead-in was from The System Is Broken, written with his partner Molly Coddlecream, and I think this represents the new musical direction that Stringy is headed in. But let's hear about that from the man himself. Here's Stringy.
G'day, Mike. How you going, mate?
Good, good. Gee, it's great to be able to catch up with you, mate.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a reclusive.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Nah, get that way.
Some people say you're talking to yourself, and well, it's the only way you can get a decent conversation sometimes.
I don't like the conversations I have with myself much.
Oh, don't you? Whereabouts are you reclusing at the moment, Kent?
At home here in South Oz.
South Australia?
Yeah.
Got the lovely Molly Coddlecream with you?
Yeah, she's fluffing around.
Okay. We'll have a talk to her after we extract all the juice out of you first.
Yeah, that won't take long. It's been a dry couple of days. It won't take long to get juice out of anyone, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty dry up your way?
Yeah, no. We've had a couple of showers. Look, we haven't had those 2 weeks in a row of 40-something degrees sort of thing yet.
Oh, haven't you?
So okay. It's been, you know, like we've had a couple of high 30s, low 40s, and the odd day of rain in between sort of thing.
So what are you doing up there, farming or what?
Sort of been coming and going gig-wise. Sort of haven't really... Molly's got a bit of a garden going, so that's looking nice and green.
You're just living off your ill-gotten gains.
Yeah, sort of. Not really living off it. Need a little bit of help from the Centrelink people, but I don't ask a lot out of them.
No.
And they expect way more back, believe me.
Yeah, a bit of a danger at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just tough. There's no real sort of venues in my area. There is, but they're kind of hard to break into, so, which takes me, you know, interstate a bit.
Still, you got some big festivals coming up, haven't you?
I've got one coming up in March, doing the 4th Blues Festival with my old band, mate.
Yeah.
And Molly's going to get up and sing a couple of her tracks with us as well.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
So let's start with the first part of it. Where did the name Stringy Bark McDowell came from? I mean, it's one of the best names I've ever heard.
Oh, well, in the old band, because the old blues singers used to make up their own names, we kind of took a humorous approach to that as well, and we came up with a name each. And I sort of, when the band split up, I just kept that name
for
me solo. So basically, Stringy Bark being a native Australian gum tree like myself. And the McDowell comes from Mississippi Fred McDowell.
Of course.
I'm heavily inspired by.
Yep, as was Bonnie Raitt. That's where I first heard of him from.
Yeah, right. I just heard him and thought, I like that sound.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very good.
I mean, I'm inspired. These days, I'm inspired by lots of musicians, not just the old blues players, but a lot of other type of stuff too. So I still refuse to listen to Top 40.
Okay, fair enough. Where did your story start then, Ken? Where were you born and bred?
I was born in Colac in Victoria.
Okay, so you're Victorian like me, yep.
And started playing guitar. I moved to Camperdown when I was about 10, and I started playing guitar at school. But, we had our little school band, and we never really did any much gigs sort of thing. And then I did the apprenticeship in Ballarat. I sort of kept playing around on the guitar. I didn't really know much about it and where I was going with it and what have you. And it wasn't until I got into a band in Geelong in the sort of late 80s did I really sort of start to evolve into what I wanted. And then, you know, I found out about these old blues singers and boom, 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 on from there.
That's the experience for a lot of us, I think. Somebody leads us to some of the old blues singers and away we go, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I always liked the sound of the slide guitar, and I'd heard Ry Cooder as a kid, and because I grew up in a small country town where I didn't know any musicians sort of as to speak in the styles. And even when I was in Geelong, like, I basically self-taught playing acoustic blues. And I learnt from that you don't have to do it their way. Like, I love hearing someone do a beautiful rendition of somebody's song, but the old blues men just took it and made their own anyway. You know, they might take one verse of a song and change around and make it into their own songs. I find sometimes if it's too precise to the so-called musician, it doesn't actually sound like them anyway.
Yeah, it's too sterile.
Yeah, it gets a little bit too clinical.
I agree.
Which is tough, because now I'm trying to be a little bit more clinical in some of the songs that Molly and I are writing, and losing that rough edge is a tough thing. Without losing it. I don't want to lose it either.
You don't want to lose the soul of it, mate.
No.
Oh, fair enough. I couldn't agree more. So, in Colac, what were your parents doing, and what was your first job when you left?
My dad was manager of the H.L. Stevens Tinsyard, Flight of 10.
Okay.
That's what he did all of his life. Was he went from there to Camperdown, and then when I was about 19 or so, I think they moved to Geelong, and he worked in Geelong at Mitre 10 as a manager.
Okay.
Did all his life.
And they still around, Ken?
Dad's dead. My mum still lives in Geelong.
Okay.
So my father kind of introduced me to woodworking.
Okay.
And then I became a fitter and turner, and then I did tool making, and that's what kind of gave me the mental capacity to make things out of wood and steel. You know, I'm not an avid builder of guitars or anything, but back when I wanted to have a resonator guitar, I couldn't afford to buy one. And they didn't make them in overseas, sort of on the black market, as you want to call it. So I built my own. And then I've made a few odd instruments ever since, mostly for myself.
Well, yeah, there's some famous ones. I mean, Shane Soule sung your praises and said, Ken doesn't realise or doesn't seem to realise how good he is.
I don't really understand it. You know, we've all got our demons, you know. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I don't know. I'm not going to go down that road.
No, leave it alone.
Yeah, that's what I said. I don't like the conversations I have with myself.
Yeah, well, just talk to Cheryl instead.
That's always interesting.
Oh, mate. So you basically became a fitter and turner. Is that what kept you in, kept your daily bread for a number of years, I guess?
Well, I never really wanted. Well, when I did my apprenticeship, it was like working in a prison, really, because it was all to a time clock and, you know, you had to make so much of this an hour. And it was a bit of a shithole to work in. It just felt like a number.
Yeah.
So I basically watched the clock for 4 years till I could get out of there. And then I started working in a shoe sole moulding factory and ended up doing tool making in there because of my trade passed, and I learned a lot of skills there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't like putting fluorescent clothing on and go to work.
No.
I don't fit into that world, you know. I don't fit into that world of being told what to do by some pompous little shit, excuse me, French, that usually has no idea what he's doing either.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know.
I understand that thought process fully.
Grumpy old man. You know, you get to 50, you know, you get over 50, you start becoming grumpy.
Yeah, well, you get a different perspective on life at a certain age, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining. I've done a lot of things in it. Some I regret, but some mostly I've learned from.
Whether we think so or like it or not, we always learn from everything, don't we?
That's it, mate. Well, you hope you do. In the right way.
Well, I don't think you can help it, really.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah. So, just get back to your family. So, were you a big family or a small family or what?
No, it was just me and my brother and sister.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, two boys and a girl.
So, where did you fit in the middle of that or what?
Yeah, I was a black sheep.
I don't believe that, mate.
No, it's true.
Yeah? Were you always in trouble, were you?
Nah, I was just didn't agree with the rest of the world, I suppose.
Mm.
Anyone will tell you I'm a bit left of centre.
Well, nothing wrong with that, mate. We're not all designed to be the same.
That's it.
And the world loves a different point of view sometimes.
Yeah.
So what's happened to your brother and sister then? They still around?
Yeah. My sister lives down the country and my brother lives in Melbourne.
Okay. So at some point you were working in bands. Did you sort of give up working for the man then and make a living out of it?
Yeah, I probably spent 8 years or more just playing around with the old band and didn't really need to work. But I had a partner and we got engaged and bought a house and so I had to go to work to get the deposit and all that. Got back into it for a while, just doing maintenance fitting and so forth. But I don't like the places you have to work in. They just stuff your health up. And in the end, I met Cheryl and got rid of the house. Moved out here living off-grid.
Okay. So you're completely off-grid?
Yeah. We have rainwater and we've got all solar powers.
So you're completely solar powered, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you have battery storage for it?
Yeah, just got simple little battery system and mostly second hand stuff. But it works. We've got lights and a stereo.
Okay.
And I can run a valve off it on a amp off it on a good day.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. And you've got internet, obviously.
Oh, well, yeah, you've got to keep in touch with the world somehow, but I don't live in America, so I'm sick of seeing Donald Trump posts.
Yeah.
I just sort of keep in touch with the world on Facebook.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Yeah.
Mate, it sounds good, but is it a bit of a struggle at times?
Oh, yeah, it's a battlefield.
Okay.
Like I said, I have to travel a bit to get gigs. That makes it hard. It's getting harder out there to sort of just to line up a tour. I mean, it's probably slack on my behalf, but I don't tend to try and book as far in advance as what other bands do and kind of miss out sometimes on things to connect. So I suppose just on the slack bugger.
Well, obviously you'd like to get more gigs than you're getting, but you're keeping bread on the table.
Yeah, I'm alive. That's all that matters. I mean, there's people out there with huge mortgages and, you know, they're playing for everything on their credit cards. They're probably doing it tougher than anyone. They just don't look like they are.
Well, Ken, you might not believe this, but I know a number of people who are just salary slaves, and they're with this negative gearing, owning 3 and 4 properties. God help them if the interest rates go up.
Oh, yeah, I know. Or they lose their unreliable, thanks to the government, selling it all overseas job, which is what happened in my trade, you know.
Yeah.
You know, why don't you go and work in the mines? Well, they've already taken my job and given it to China, so I'm not going to go and dig up the country and give it to them too.
No, and you never know when that's going to run out either. I tell you what, I just had a bit of good news I read this morning. Apparently the bigger dairy companies bought back Vegemite.
Look out, we're on the up. Australia owns Vegemite again.
Yeah, it's a positive sign, mate.
Yeah, I know. The rest of the world decide they didn't know how much to put on their toast, so they don't like it.
Yeah. They had to take some phenomenal sort of $400 million loan or something to do it. So if they can't pay that, they'll be in trouble. But still, let's be positive about it, eh?
Better start buying Vegemite again.
There you go.
I can't afford it.
All right, let's get on to Muddy Puddles, which I think, again, is a rather neat name. I mean, the whole thing about Muddy Puddles is shows the band members' sense of humour, I think.
Yeah, it was a fun little band.
Was it a take on Muddy Waters originally?
It was just a piss take on the whole blues world, really.
Yeah?
Like the same as the Stringy Bark McDowell name, like Jeff, the harmonica player, his name was Bluey G. Honer. And when we had the washboard player, Ian, his name was Washboard Sam, and because of the original Washboard Sam, we named him that. And, we're a bit of a party band. We had a good time. And, we're doing a reunion in March at the 4th Blues Festival, as I said.
Yeah.
The 20th anniversary, we played at the first couple of them and maybe one more after that. And I'm not sure, but I don't think even FN played, so this will probably be our first three-piece.
Sorry, I missed a bit of that.
It'll be our first three-piece show for probably 20-odd years.
So what are you doing for that? Are you getting together and rehearsing or what?
The day before.
That'd be right.
She'll be right.
She'll be right. She'll be right the night.
Yeah.
So where are the other members?
Oh, we should be able to string together a 50-minute set. I still perform a lot of the old Puddles songs from time to time too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're still pretty fresh in your mind.
So where are the other band members now?
Ian is in, he's just a bit north of Hobart, I think, sort of new Norfolk area, I think. And Jeff is about 20-something kilometres out of Gympie.
Okay. Well, that's
Queensland. So, yeah, there's a bit of a stretch between us these days.
Gee, you're spread out all right.
Yeah.
Well, and are the other two still playing? Are they still doing gigs?
They do a little bit here and there.
Okay.
One of Jeff's friends runs a venue down the road and they go there quite often. He's quite often up jamming.
Okay. So getting together the day before is probably not that much of a stretch. You're probably all not too far out of tune.
Nah. I went up to Queensland and did a few gigs with Jeff a couple of years ago, and we had a great time. There was no real, you know, it was loose and full of juice like normal. And that's what the punters want.
Of course.
As they say, you can't polish a turd.
Well, only so far.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you guys are pretty good. You guys don't sell yourself too short.
Oh, I'm not selling it short. I mean, you know, we were a fun, good, fun little band.
Mm.
And, you know.
So what caused the breakup in the end? Just run out of steam?
Oh, life. it wasn't really a breakup. Everyone just sort of went their separate ways, you know, as bands do. I've done various other things since, going back to what I do.
So, you know. So did you know Cheryl in those days?
No. We only met, I can't remember now, probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
Started talking to each other on the internet, not on one of those, just talking to each other on Facebook as friends.
Yep. And, well, that's how a lot of couples meet these days. I mean, me and my wife did that too. We're in our dotage a bit, but, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we met online. Yeah.
It's funny, you know, the last thing you're ever going to think you're going to meet someone on Facebook, but I did. We're just pissing around on it to start with.
Yeah, I think you're lucked out, mate.
Our life's pretty good. That's complicated and living in the city. I couldn't go back to that either.
No.
Which is why you don't see me playing in the city much, because I don't like cities, which is a bit tough for a musician when you don't like going to the city.
It sort of narrows your gigs down a bit.
Well, it does, you know, and I'm just me. I just don't like cities. Can't be helped.
So do you make a lot of instruments to sell or just for yourself?
I've just made stuff for myself, really, over the years. I made a couple of guitars for friends, but other than that, I just make my own stuff play and haven't done it for a while because I've got enough instruments now that I don't use without having any more that I don't use.
No. No, well, you can only play one at a time, can't you?
Yeah, couple.
Well, yeah, true, couple maybe, but I was got to ask a question though. I've seen the video, I think it was on Shane's site, where you knocked you had a pot on your slide guitar and the climax of it is you knock the pot off the thing and out into the audience somewhere. Do you manage to retrieve that every time?
Yeah, I've only ever had attempted it's been stolen a couple of times, but we're up at Bailey Beach in this sort of gypsy looking backpack, a couple from somewhere on the other side of the world. We're dancing with each other, and at the end of the night, he's walking off down the street tapping on my hubcap, and it's lucky we spotted him. And he gave it back, so that's about the closest I've had it being flogged.
Oh, dear.
It's kind of a silly little ditty that I made up. You know, it's like anything. You get sick of playing it after a while.
Yeah. The novelty wears off, doesn't it?
Especially when you play 30-odd songs to a set and all people want to hear some piece of shit you made up, excuse me, friend, as a joke.
Now listen to me good stuff instead.
Yeah, well, that's it.
So how many instruments do you play? Like, you, I know you play slide, I know you play ordinary guitar. Do you play 12-string?
Yeah, I play 12-string, play 12-string slide. I play slide in a variety of different tunings. I play banjo in a few different tunings. I pretty much don't tune standard. I tune the whole tone down.
Okay.
When I play.
Why is that?
Well, mainly because Cheryl or Molly,
either one.
She sings in black notes. So I can play a C chord and I'm in B flat.
Okay.
This makes it simpler. I mean, you know, okay. Play country picking in the right key, sort of in the right chord shape, so to speak.
Yeah, okay.
And I like bigger strings on my guitars too, so.
Do you?
You tune them down, yeah. Usually, well, 12 to 54 or 13 to 56, sometimes even a bigger one on the top.
Gee. Okay. So where do you get new strings from? Do you buy them off the net?
I usually get them from my favourite old music shop in Geelong that I've supported for years. So
go on, give them a plug.
Billy down at A&B Music. He's looked after me for years with bits and pieces. He's a good fella.
That's good. I'll see if I can find a link for him, put him in the show notes, give him a bit of a plug.
That's the way.
Yeah. Well, you've got to support people, you know?
Well, that's it, especially when they support you.
Yeah. Tell you, I shouldn't probably take this up, but you might appreciate this. I was brought up by my grandparents, and my school holidays, one of the things was my grandma would send me up to the shops to get groceries or get meat particularly, you know. And there were two butchers in the town, and one was sort of closer to us and one was further away. And every time she'd send me to the one that was further away, I'd say, why can't I go to the other one, you know, being a lazy little so-and-so. She'd say, well, look, they've both got to make a living, so yeah. I'd share it around. Yeah. And it's always stuck with me. That's how people in small towns think, you know. They see the humanity of people and that, you know, he's got to make a living as well. So this week I'll give him my support. That next week I'll give it the other guy, you know.
Yeah.
Unless they give you a real crap product, of course, and, you know, they cut you off then, but, you know.
Yeah, that's a different kettle.
But that's like you, supporting this guy. He's stuck by you and been good to you over the years, so you keep shopping with him, you know.
Yeah.
That's good. In your former life then, did you have any kids? Did you get that far?
I've got a daughter. She's about 28 now.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been married before and all that crap.
Well, I gathered that. Oh, that was why you had to go to work.
Well, I wasn't. Yeah, I never ended up marrying the girl I got engaged to.
Oh, okay.
I took over the house and she moved on. Sort of, you know when you grow apart.
Mm. Yes, sadly it happens to all of us.
Started mentioning marriage and children and I just turned the other way. Can't do either of those.
But you do have a daughter. Still in contact with her?
Yeah.
Relationship good?
Well, I wasn't in contact with her for about 20 years. That's put me off getting married and having more. Anyway, that's a whole book that I'm not going to buy into.
No, okay. We'll wait till the movie comes out, eh?
Yeah, the movie.
Eh?
The movie comes out.
Yeah, Brad Pitt will play the lead. I can see him in dreads, you know.
Yeah.
When did the dreadlock start?
Oh, 30-odd years ago.
Gee.
I cut them short once.
Yeah.
They might be coming off shortly.
Why is that, mate?
Oh, no, change of style, change of life, change of giving a shit.
Oh, no.
I would have said the other word, but you're not allowed to say that on radio.
No. You'd be testing my editing abilities there. Yeah, okay. And you know what? Don't worry about it. Yeah, sometimes a change is good as a holiday. And the Buddhists talk about attachment. And I think I've told this story before, but I was going swimming at a place at one stage and I sort of met up every day with the same guy who had a massive comb over and I was just having, I had my hair real short and kept it short and I decided to shave it off one weekend and when I went in Monday he just about had a heart attack at the sight of it and wouldn't talk to me. And it taught me a great lesson. I mean, he had a real attachment to them, you know, to his comb over and hair. That's, if he didn't have that, he wouldn't be young anymore, you know. He was only in his 50s, I mean, you know.
Probably should have shaved his head. He would have looked younger.
He probably should have, but that was too big a...
Nothing worse than a half-drunk bloke with a comb over standing hot sideways across his head.
Yeah. Oh, they're precious, aren't they? Sorry to all those people with comb overs in the audience, by the way.
I'm just lucky I've got hair, I suppose, but then I keep telling people, if you keep going to someone and getting them to comb it and cut it off, you eventually it's not going to want to be there, is it?
No.
Guy doesn't want me.
Yeah, so, well, it's up to you, mate. It's part of your identity, but still, you're still you who you are underneath it all.
Yeah, maybe I need a change of identity.
Well, you'll feel different.
You're lighter.
Yeah, exactly. And a bit cooler on top. How much work does it take to keep them in shape and clean and whatever?
I don't do anything. Mine are real.
Yeah? You just...
Yeah, I didn't go to a hairdresser and get them put in or anything.
Yeah, they've just evolved.
Yeah, I just wash them when the weather's right.
So what about pets, mate? You got any pets?
Yeah, I've got two dogs, Daisy May and Otis Taylor. Jack Russell Fox Terriers, they quite often tour with us.
Oh, lovely. I love the fact that they've both got surnames.
Oh, yeah. Well, Daisy May's a hillbilly. She comes from the hillbilly country.
Okay.
And Otis Taylor, he plays harmonica.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
As soon as you pick up a harmonica, that's it. He's like,
oh, does he really?
Yeah.
Do you play the harp, do you?
A little bit. It's best around.
Okay. So what's the future hold for Stringy Bark McDowell?
Don't know.
Or the Ken Terrington that's underneath?
Yeah, good old Facebook made me put the real name up.
Gee.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. We're working on a new CD at the moment. Writing new songs as they come out. You know, we don't sit down and just write. Something comes to mind and it works, well then we work on it a bit more.
Mm.
So yeah, we're doing that at the moment. Like I said, who knows what direction I'll go in. My left leg doesn't let me do the one-man band thing anymore, so...
Oh, is that right?
I'm sort of contemplating going a bit more acoustic or a bit, not so much acoustic, but no foot percussion, just guitar and vocal.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. Why not?
Yeah, I've done the one-man band shit for 20-something years and a lot of it are out there now, so give the young blokes a go.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, you do such wonderful stuff with this slide that, you know, why not just focus on it, you know?
Well, I'm over 50 now. Sometimes I wonder if I don't look like a kid's plastic monkey toy when I'm sitting there playing a boomch, boomch, doing a guitar. And I think, you know, maybe it's time of life to concentrate more on just playing guitar.
Yeah.
I'd like to do some movie soundtracks too because I get thunderstorms out here and I record them and then I put slide guitar over the top.
Whoa.
And stuff like that.
Do you have those anywhere that I could grab a copy?
Oh, I'll see what I can come up with.
Okay. That sounds marvellous.
Yeah. It's all on the hard drive in the recording unit. Hoping to put some on it. CD, so.
Okay, because that sounds like a marvellous idea, because you must get some tremendous storms out there.
Yeah, it's
spectacular,
it's
that
interesting,
is.
And it's a view, some good ones. Most of the time when they're on top of you, you lock yourself in. But we get to see some fantastic ones north from here. Because of the Goyder Line out here, as they call it, the rain belt, you get to see some spectacular stuff come out of, off the hills and out across to the north of here, sort of from, I don't know what you'd say, from sort of Burrah to Brenmark way.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, kind of. Brenmark. So there's massive big thunderstorms.
I hear Cheryl just brought the booze in.
What? Booze?
It sounded like dropped a carton of bottles or something.
You know, I don't drink anymore.
No?
I gave up drinking alcohol.
Well, I think again, it's an age thing, Ken. I mean, a lot of us...
Yeah, it just bores me to death now.
Yeah, and the old body just can't handle it the same way.
Oh, I have a couple of beers and feel yucky, want to go to sleep, so what's the point of drinking if you can't get pissed?
Well, I have a glass of red every now and then, but that's a long way from, like, once every couple of months maybe. But that's a long way from the bottle of red every day.
Yeah, like I said, it's not hard to become an alcoholic out here.
No, I could imagine, long as the supply didn't run out.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I think we better leave you to it, mate.
No worries.
That was great catching up with you, mate, and I look forward to seeing you come out with some new stuff and see how you get on at the Blues Festival.
That's it, mate. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Muddy Puddles lives.
Well, we're doing a gig or two.
Yeah. Fair enough, Ken.
No worries, mate.
Thanks Ken. Great talking to you, buddy. It really was.
You too, mate.
See ya.
Have a good day.
Same to you.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, Stringy said before the chat that it was going to be a challenge. Well, how do you think it turned out? Please leave a comment on the webpage or on iTunes or on Facebook. And don't forget to check out the links mentioned in the chat at www.stasisplace.blog. where you can also subscribe to the podcast to automatically get new episodes. Next week, I have the lovely Molly Coddlecream herself for you to hear her side of the story. Until then, thanks for listening, folks. Bye for now.
Just one in a jar, searching, committed, but treated as a slough, as a slough. Stomach was empty, his sister she cries. He wasn't a scrounger, a proud man, a proud man. Was fighting to swim in a rip full of lies. The system is broken.